Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
This program is sponsored by the Alan Churchill Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO. This is Alan Churchill speaking. Today, the Reverend Donald Crisp, pastor of First Baptist Church of Smiths Falls, will be bringing the message. I want to welcome you, Don. Thanks for being here.
Alan, once again, thank you for being a guest on this program.
Today, Don is bringing a message entitled, Prayer Works. But now let's listen to Elvis singing Reach Out to Jesus from his CD entitled He Touched Me. The word to us.
Thank you, Alan. My theme for today is entitled Prayer works. The fact is, many crises come into the lives of all of us. And when that happens, we know that we need to pray. What I want to address today is when we have these crises in our lives, we go into what I would call a prayer alert mode. And I'm here to say today that when we do that, we are confident that prayer works. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, the Apostle Paul speaking, "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." Actually, one translation says we're knocked down, but we're not knocked out. A newer translation, the Message, reads this way, "We've been surrounded and battered by troubles, and we're not demoralized, but we're not sure what to do. But we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down, but we haven't broken." Does this sound familiar to you? It sure does to me. So often in our lives, we feel like the walls are caving in and the ceiling is falling. We feel the floor is collapsing beneath our feet. And we know that we're not beaten. We know that we need to pray. But we struggle with how to pray. Today, as we look at this theme, I want us to travel back to the Old Testament, to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. King Jehoshaphat has just been informed that a vast army is approaching. The enemy is approaching. And what does he do? Well, he does what we would do when we know that conflict is on the way. He prays. Notice that when we read this passage, he prays according to what he knows about who he knows. This is what he prays, beginning at verse 6, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hands, and no one can withstand you." Again, he prayed according to what he knew about who he knew. He knew about, first of all, God's providence. How often do we need to remember when we're going through these times of crisis that God is still on the throne? How often do we need to be reminded that God is still in control? We need to visit his providence and take confidence in it. Secondly, we're reminded of God's power. Jehoshaphat prayed, "Power and might are in your hands, Lord." It's so important in the midst of a crisis or emergency to remember that when we pray to the one who is still on the throne. Our giants are but grasshoppers compared to the living God. We must pray remembering 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, "Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world." We need to pray according to his providence. We need to pray according to his power. But let me add, we need to pray according to his promises. Oh, yes, so many promises concerning God. This is a God who leads us and guides us and provides for us. In the Old Testament, as a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. In the New Testament, the Spirit, his Spirit is within us, and we have that confidence with us. Psalm 91, verse 11 says that this God commands his angels to guard over us. Psalm 121, verse 8 says that this God is watching over our life. He watches both our coming and our going, both now and forevermore. Yes, we need to cling to the promises of God when we pray. Let me demonstrate this biblically. In Exodus chapter 17, Moses sends out a message to Joshua. They're in battle with the Amalekites, and he says to Joshua, "You all go down that valley and you do the fighting, and Aaron and Ur and I are going to go to the mountain." And as he does so, this is what he says, "Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." Verse 10, "So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses and Aaron and Ur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning, but whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning." What do we learn from this? Well, certainly we've heard many Bible studies or sermons, many messages talking about as Moses lifted up his hands, there was victory against the Amalekites, the very enemies of God. And yet we seem to interpret that message as, therefore, when we lift our hands in prayer, there is victory. But is that really what the passage is teaching? Certainly, first and foremost, it's teaching we must lift our hands in prayer, and we do so. Of course, we're bowing our hearts before the King of Kings. But also, did you notice what it said? He lifted up the staff of God, even as he lifted up his hands. Folks, I want to remind you, that staff of God is a reminder, for me at least, of the promises of God. As we hold tight to the promises of God and lift our hands in prayer, we will see the victory that comes in our life. Yes, we see Moses was trusting in prayer, but he was also trusting on the promises of God. Let me demonstrate this a little further as we go to Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. The people of God have now come to the Red Sea. There was no way out. There was no way forward. There was no way back. Pharaoh was coming quickly. They were trapped. Moses says to the people as they were standing before the Red Sea, he says six things. First, do not be afraid. Isn't it interesting in the Old Testament how often, yes, even in the New Testament, God addresses the issue of fear? Well, the issue of fear reminds us that it really is a faith issue. You see, the antidote for fear is trust. Every time he says, do not be afraid, what he's really saying is, will you trust me? Do not be afraid. The second thing Moses says to the people, stand firm. Stand firm on what? I believe that means stand firm on what you know about God, his providence, his power, his promises. Thirdly, he says, you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. Fourthly, the Lord will fight for you. And number five, you need only be still. Oh, how difficult that is for us, to be still before the Lord. Then the Lord says to Moses in verse 16, tell the people to move out or move forward as you raise your staff. Oh, yes, we all see that picture before our eyes. The waters are being parted of the Red Sea as Moses raises his staff, and the people, by faith, are to move forward as they hold on to the promises of God, promises for their life. Now, with this past history in mind, I come back to King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. He prays. He prays with now, I believe, with transparency and indeed vulnerability. Again, we need to realize that we pray according to what we know about who we know. You see, Jehoshaphat knew about the providence of God, the power of God, the promises of God. But now we see he gets personal. There comes that time often in our lives when we're praying to God that we really need to get personal with God. It's time to be transparent before God. It's time to be totally vulnerable before God. And Jehoshaphat was now in that position. Listen now to how he prays in this next prayer in Chronicles. He actually prays three things. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verse 12. This is his prayer. Lord, we have no power to face this vast army. Secondly, Lord, we do not know what to do. Have you been in that place in your life where you've prayed, Lord, I have no power here. And secondly, I don't know what to do. And then he prays thirdly, but our eyes are upon you. Now that's a prayer alert moment where we realize that we're powerless and we don't have the wisdom to know what to do. And therefore we turn our eyes to the Lord. We often fail to take a leap of faith because our spiritual eyes are closed when it comes to the providence, the power, and the promises of God. We often fail to take hold of our victory because our eyes are on the circumstances before us and not on the living God. We often fail to move forward because our eyes are closed with fear, and then we find ourselves just plain stuck. We say we trust Him with our lives, but unless we can see the answer before us, we seem to freeze and we become immobilized. It's at this time that we fail to take that leap of faith that is needed. You know, folks, this is a matter of facing our giants, not just facing our giants. I love the story of the African impala. This is a story of an African deer, as I would see it. He's kind of a supercharged animal. He can leap vertically 10 to 13 feet. He can broad jump 30 to 30 feet. He can run, we're told, at 60 to 70 kilometers an hour. Oh, yes, it raises an interesting question, doesn't it? How in the world do zoos contain this animal? Well, actually, it's not a problem at all. It's actually very easy. They merely put up a 6-foot tall wall. You see, the African impala will not jump over that which he cannot see over. Here's the principle. The impala will not jump unless it can see where it's going to land. Did you hear that? He will not jump unless he can see where he's going to land. Oh, yes, lots of Christians have the impala problem. We won't take a leap in faith unless we have all the answers in advance, unless we can see where we're going to land, if we dare take that leap of faith. Folks, God is looking for some bold believers, even in the face of the unknown, who will leap when the Spirit says leap, who will move forward when the Spirit says move forward, all to the honor and the glory of God. We catch ourselves saying, but I can't see. I'm afraid. And indeed, as I think again on that issue of fear, I'm reminded as we go back to 2 Kings chapter 6 of Elisha. Oh, yes. In beginning of verse 8, it reads this way. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such place. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and time again, Elisha warned the king that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and he demanded of them, which of you will tell me who is revealing this information to the king of Israel? None of us, my lord, they said. As a matter of fact, they said, Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, he tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Now, he says, go find out where this Elisha is, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back that he is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force. There they went by night and surrounded the city. Now here's the part I love, verse 15. When the servant of the man of God, meaning the servant of Elisha, when he got up, he went out early in next morning, and then he saw an army of horses and chariots surrounding the city. And he cried out, oh my Lord, what shall we do? Can you see that picture? He gets up. He goes out. He's yawning. He's stretching. He's looking. And suddenly he sees this vast army and he panics with fear. Elisha prays. And he says three things to this servant in this prayer. First, he says, don't be afraid. Notice how he addresses the fear issue again. Don't be afraid. Another way of saying you need to trust God. The second thing he says is, those who are with us are more than those are with them. I can see the servant running out again and saying, oh, I'm going to count them. And I can see him starting counting the enemy. 1,000, 2,000, 9,000, 9,999. The commentators, the historians tell us probably it was a force of about 10,000 troops. Ah, yes, I can see him counting. And then he'd stop and he'd say, now let's count our side. Elisha, there's one. Me, there's two. One, two, two, one. Oh, he still didn't get it. So Elisha prays thirdly, O Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And then the Lord opened his eyes of the servant, and he looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots. Now that word saw comes from a Hebrew word that's quickly means to perceive. It means to understand. His eyes were opened and suddenly he could understand what the Lord wanted him to see. Folks, I believe we need to pray. We need to pray what Paul wrote in Ephesians 1:18, open the eyes of our heart, Lord. We need to pray, Lord, when we don't know what to do, we need to trust you. We need to take that leap of faith and keep our eyes on you. The songwriter wrote these words, very powerful, very meaningful. Listen to them. When you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams, your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears, stop and praise the Lord. The Lord can work with those who praise him. Let's listen to the Wild Goad CD, Disc 2. Praise the Lord.
That shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested scheme. And you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears. Don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Himself, we're children of the King. So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ is risen, so the work's already done.
Began this message by asking the question, how do we pray? We know we should pray, but the question really is, how do we pray? When is it appropriate to really get personal in our prayer life with God? Well, how about that? I would suggest that it's always appropriate. It's always the time to be personal with God. But yes, there are times when we cry out, Lord, we've been surrounded and battered by troubles, and we're not sure what to do. Lord, we know you know what to do. So when we pray and we answer that question, how do we pray? Everything we've said so far just makes complete sense. We need to pray what we know about who we know, the providence of God, the power of God, the promises of God. We need to keep it personal and pray, Lord, I have no power to face this issue. Lord, I don't know what to do, but Lord, my eyes are on you. Now, folks, God answers Jehoshaphat's very, very personal and intimate prayer. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 14 and 15. I love this. It says, the Spirit of the Lord came, and he said the following. Actually, it's nine things that he said. First, once again, he says, do not be afraid. Isn't it interesting? I find it so interesting. The Lord always addresses our fear. He wants us to not fear our issues. Again, he wants us to faith our issues. It's about trust. Secondly, he says, do not be discouraged. Thirdly, the battle is not yours. It's God's. Fourthly, you will not have to fight this battle. Oh, I can imagine all of us would be saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Fifthly, he says, take up your positions. I believe that that means take up your prayer positions. We need to bow our hearts before God and pray, again, according to his providence, his power, his promises. And yet, we need to open our hearts to the Lord and allow him to really take that intimate moment and open our eyes. Also, it says, stand firm. Yes, sixthly, it says, stand firm on what you know. Seven, then it says, you will see the deliverance the Lord will give you today. Number eight, this is the hard part for most of us. There's always a time where God says, you've been still long enough. It's time to move out. It's time to move forward. It's time to go out and face that enemy, to face that giant, to face that issue. And ninthly, it says, and the Lord will be with you. Isn't that wonderful to know that we're never alone? Oh, we need to take that leap of faith. Oh, yes, we need to pray, Lord, open my eyes. Father, I want to pray right now. And would you join me as I pray? Lord, open our eyes that we might see. We want to take that leap of faith for you. We know we're in a land of struggles, but we know that you're the one who will lead us and guide us and provide for us. And Father, we want to trust you today with our lives and with our hearts. And we ask that you'd come in and forgive us and love us and guide us. What a privilege it is to call you Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Don, for being with us today. And listeners, I want to thank you for your encouragement, prayer, and financial support. Now, to conclude our program, here is Selah singing Part the Waters, I Need Thee Every Hour. May you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart, and may the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love.
When I think I'm going under, part the waters, Lord. When I feel the waves around me calm the sea. When I cry for help, oh, hear me, Lord, and hold out your hand. Touch my life, still the raging storm in me. Tender voice
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.